Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, John, I just passed a cemetery. Grave diggers out with the backhoe digging for a grave. Cold weather doesn't stop death. John, toilet paper is expensive at Walgreens and bulky if you walk to the store. There was a conversation about FedEx delivering and not delivering items. Somebody said, what do you people need toilet paper for? And then a conversation ensued on our text line about toilet paper. Hi, Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini.
Hi, how are you?
Good, you're on the air.
I don't normally get involved in politics, but what about flame broiled?
Evidently, Bill and Wendy and Roe have discussed this, and they're all going with the Whopper. That's what this investigation is going to become. But flame broiled works.
Yeah, just throwing that out there.
By the way, I got to read a commercial for 60 seconds. Then Lou takes your calls, questions, comments about insulating or, I guess, insulating your home, your life from this cold. The attorneys at GWC pride themselves on being a preeminent injury law firm from Chicago. Yeah, their office is right here in the city. Their roots and families are in Chicago. Despite what you see and hear in lots of lawyer advertising, that's not necessarily true in a lot of instances. Many of the law firms you see advertising in Chicagoland aren't even from the state. Unless you ask these questions and get honest answers, you'll never know the truth. Many of these lawyers you see on TV don't even try cases. They want you to think they're ferocious lawyers in the courtroom, but the reality is many just sign up the cases and settle for whatever they can get. If you're looking for a Chicago trial lawyer to aggressively represent you in your personal injury case, call the trial lawyer firm with 100 employees right here in Chicago, GWC. By the way, if you're in a slip, slide, and accident, you need an attorney to represent you this week. They just came by a little while ago and said call GWC at 312-999-9999. That's right, 312, then dial 9 or visit justicestartstoday.com. We visit Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fix-It. Hi, Lou, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Should I leave a stream of water on my taps tonight?
Yeah. I mean, in particular, for those that have kitchen sinks or vanities that are on outside walls, what I tell people all the time is if you open up those doors and you see the pipes coming out of the wall, the backside.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. Both the hot and the cold, not just the one.
That's my next question. Yeah. What if it's one, faucet that slides to the right or left, then just in the
right
middle?
Right in the middle.
Make it
right
warm.
Up in the middle. Yeah, just a little. It doesn't need to be. It just needs to be a little bit more than a drip drip.
And the idea is that this flowing water will keep it from freezing in the pipes.
Correct.
What do you do if you turn on your pipes and you got no water, which has happened to me before?
Now, if we do that, you open up the cabinet doors. If you have a space heater, place it on the floor blowing into the cabinet, leave the valve open and let it slowly warm up. It may take 20 to, 30 minutes before it would free up.
Do you recommend using a blowtorch? And
no.
Let me finish the question, Lou.
Okay.
Some kind of fire. You start a fire in there and heat the pipe because then the heat will travel the length of the pipe.
Sure. Right. And then you'll be outside in the cold as the fire department comes. No, don't use a torch.
How about a hair dryer?
A hair dryer could work, but the space
heater. How about a curling iron?
No curling iron. No flat iron, no curling iron, no.
I'll shut up. Okay. So back to the back to the hair dryer. That's a good idea, right?
Yeah. You'll just have to hold it there for quite some time. That's why I like the space heater, because you can just set it there and then go make a cup of tea or whatever it is you want to do and wait a little bit, because it'll take about a half an hour. I really, John, the thing is, everything that they're talking about, and I was out today as well, our homes are not designed for this kind of weather, okay? The most well-insulated home, the most well-maintained home, when we get to these types of temperatures, our homes are going to do things that we don't know about. And I was talking with my producer, Lindsay, who's, only lived in her home for about 4 years. And she's like, oh, I'm going to go see my mom. I think I should be fine. I'm like, yeah, you haven't been in that house when it's been this cold, and none of us have. So we just don't know. And so you really have to pay attention. I think you're going to hear things in your home that you haven't heard before. Your furnace is going to just run and run and run. I spoke with someone on a different radio station in another part of town. They said, oh, I heard that you're supposed to turn your thermostat up like a few degrees. Don't do that. Just maintain it at the same level. What I would do more than anything is to try and eliminate as much drafting in the home as possible. Your second floor windows probably not locked. And if you lock them, you'll notice that they'll be a much more tighter fit. If you normally keep a couch that's over a vent in the living room or the family room,
right.
Pull that out of the way. And then I cannot stress enough the use of ceiling fans. It is 5 to 7 degrees warmer at the ceiling. You're sitting on the couch or at the kitchen counter, and by circulating that air, and if you don't have a ceiling fan and you have a box fan, take the box fan and turn it and point it in the corner and turn it on low. Let that push against the wall, climb up the ceiling, and circulate the air.
312-981-7200. You've got a question about your home when it gets this cold, and Lou Manfredini's here to answer your question. Hey, Brenda, you're on the air. How are you?
Hi, gentlemen. I'm well, thank you. Lou, my question is it savvy and smart on my behalf to put the timer on the dishwasher and have it run at, say, 2 a.m. to 4 a.m., do its thing and keep the water moving?
Yeah. I mean, if it's right next to your kitchen sink, it's feeding the water that's feeding the dishwasher more than likely comes from the kitchen sink. I'd rather you just trickle it on there. That's... Your dishwasher, I will tell you, if it's on an outside wall, you know, that more than likely that supply line comes through the cabinet and it's on the floor on the interior of the home. It's not in the wall. So the likelihood of that freezing is pretty low.
I see. Okay, thank you.
No harm, not a bad idea,
no.
Maybe not going to save you from the simple trickle, trickle, trickle. Hey, Louise, you're on WGN Radio. What's your question for Lou Manfredini?
Hi, Lou. I live in an area that's prone to having electricity cut off. If my electricity is cut off, there's no heat. Would it be logical to turn off the water from the source? I have a well from the main source, and then open up the faucets so that they're not full of water and then leave the house?
Yeah, I have given this some thought. I am worried a little bit about if there was a power outage. That's really the big wild card in all of this. I mean, thankfully, we're not like the Northeast where we get these ice storms and there's no precipitation that is precluded in this. But if we lose power, there's no heat, and that's a huge problem. As far as the well, when you lose electricity, that pump's not going to work. And so the idea of opening up your faucets and draining the pipes in that scenario probably makes a lot of sense, because if we eliminate, what I don't like about this scenario is it introduces air into the line, which can be rust and that, but for a couple of days it's not that big of a deal. So I would do that. I would open everything up, the pump will already be off, and let it drain out.
Well, okay, all right, that would make sense. But if we have power on and off and on and off, that would create a problem with the pump and the well and the water. So would it be more logical to at least turn off the source of the water?
Well, if you have an intermittent power outage where you lose it for an hour and turn it back on for an hour type of thing, yeah, I suppose that would make sense. The issue, again, is that you're just not quite sure when the power goes back on.
Yeah.
So sure. Absolutely.
Good luck to you, Louise. I appreciate the question. I think that was a good one. And I think Jim has a similar sort of question. Hey, Jim, are you there?
Yeah, hi. It's Jim with Tate Enterprises.
Hey, how are you? What do you want Lou to answer?
Yeah, hey, I fill in for Lou when he's not there. And
hi,
I was
Jim.
Just listening in and thought I'd throw in a tip, too. It actually piggybacks off what she just said. So for some customers, I am recommending that they do turn off the water, particularly overnight when we get the super freezing cold temperatures, and then just turn it back on in the morning. That way they don't have to worry about any sudden emergencies in the middle of the night with pipes frozen and spewing water all over and whatnot, and then they can turn it back on in the morning.
I mean, I don't want to disagree with you, but I'm going to. My concern is the stagnant water, and depending on how a home is set up, if you shut off at the main, Jim is right that if you burst a pipe with the main off, nothing's going to come through. But with the stagnant water in the pipe on the outside walls, if we have pipes in older homes like that, I worry that that's what would freeze. And then when you go to turn it on, it could be problematic. So, everyone has their opinion on all this, and so You know, you have to decide for yourself what you think works best for you.
Fair enough. Jim, thank you for that call. Lou, thank you for your thought. You know, there's information. You're the homeowner. You make the decision.
Right.
Carl had a question. Hey, Carl, what was that?
Yeah, well, I remember during the summer they say to remove the filter. Would it be logical to remove the filter just for those 2 nights so it has more of a free flow and you leave the fan on so it's constantly circulating?
All right, Lou, so that question is, should I take my furnace filter off, let the air flow more freely, and keep the fan on to keep the air circulating in my house?
Keeping the fan on is a great idea. It will circulate the air constantly. I have a feeling it's going to be on anyway, even at auto, because of the cold temperatures. His idea about the filter, what I maintained is that if your filter is dirty, right now, if you go downstairs or in your mechanical room and you pull it out and you see it's dirty and you say, I am not going to the hardware store to get a new filter because it's too cold, I have zero problem with you running your furnace for a couple of days without a filter. It's not the end of the world. And that better flow, John, I mean, there are people that are going to call contractors to come out because their system is going to fail because of a clogged filter, and that's all it's going to be. They're going to come, reset it, put a new filter in. $300 later, you know, in the middle of the night, you have someone coming in to fix it. So that is a real critical issue for people with a forced air system. And leaving the fan on all the time, it uses hardly any energy, and it will make you more comfortable in the home. I have zero problem with that.
847, thanks for the call. 847, text, which direction for the ceiling fans, Lou?
Well, not all ceiling fans turn the same way. So I hear a lot of people going, oh, you got to turn it clockwise. For the most part, clockwise means that it's pulling up from the center, it's blowing the air against the ceiling, and then cascading down the walls. If that is the case with clockwise, that's the way you want to do it. Just pay attention to it. What you're not looking for, because you don't want to feel the draft, is on your face. However, it can turn any way you want. If you have a cathedral ceiling and it's up 20 feet, it doesn't really matter which way it turns, just on low to circulate the air.
Okay, and this is what we've got. I mean, it's not. In fact, LF, what's the coldest temperature that we have in the area right now?
3 degrees, John.
3. So we're 24 degrees warmer, 25 degrees warmer right now than it might be this time tomorrow.
It's crazy. I mean, it is. John, your locks on your doors aren't going to work.
Do you have a recommendation about that, Lou?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that, you know, there's a lock freeze item that you can buy in a little tube that you can squirt into there if you could go out today.
I bought some of that.
Yeah, it's like a little blue bottle, and it's got a little red tip, and you can use it on your car. You can use it on your home lock. It's not going to be a problem. You're going to have problems using things, anything that touches the outside circulating through a metal thing. The door latch that you would use to latch the door, that may be difficult as well. And so that's something that's going to be problematic. You're gonna see ice buildup. I did a thing with the GNTV yesterday. For a lot of people that have direct vent furnaces that use the pipes on the outside of the home, and in particular those that are low to the ground, we had all the snow. The wind is going to pick up. It's going to start blowing to the side of the house. And if that vent gets clogged, either the intake or the exhaust, it will shut your furnace down. And so I want people to go along with making sure you go get those new filters. Today's the day, because tomorrow everyone's going to be hunkered down. But you're going to look at those pipes and sweep it and shovel it away. And if all of a sudden you realize, why isn't my furnace running? Or it runs for a little bit, I hear it turning on, bundle up and go outside and take a look at it. My guess is those pipes on the side of the house are clogged with snow.
Yeah. Okay, that's Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. Lou, maybe you could join us tomorrow as well. In fact, maybe you should just do all of the shows for the next couple of days. I went to my local hardware store at your recommendation and bought that little thing of unfreeze the locks on your car.
Yeah.
Because Brendan Griffin were going to be driving, and I was worried about them. And then when I got it, I realized we don't have a hole to stick a key in my car because we have the boop boop fob thing. So I felt kind of foolish.
Well, here's the thing. You do have a key lock, and this is one other tip for people, especially those that have to go to work tomorrow and park their cars outside. If you can get a bottle of mineral oil, or if you have a little lightweight PAM, you know, like cooking spray,
yeah,
spray that on a rag. The gasket around the door where the door seals, yeah, to the car,
yeah,
just lightly wipe that down, because as it dries out, that can get really hard and freeze to the, and when you go to use your when you go to use your fob to open up the door, you may grab the handle and it just won't open.
Oh.
So, I mean, today's the day, the things that we talked about,
right,
if anything seems like this is what I need to do, I mean, it's terrible for me to hear you say it's 3 degrees and it's 24 degrees warmer. So tomorrow, nobody's going to do this. I mean, stores will be open, but if you can get out today, get to the hardware store and get those supplies so you're ready, it would be wise.
You didn't hear me say it's 3 degrees. You heard, Aleph, what's the coldest temperature in the metro, please?
The coldest temperature in the metro, John, is 3 degrees,
all right,
Fahrenheit.
We got it. It's going to be colder tomorrow. I'll talk to you again, Lou.
Love you.